All right, our scripture comes this morning from 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Yearn for and seek his face, and to be in his presence continually. All right, why do birds fly south for the winter? It's faster than walking. Why are pigs such bad drivers? They hog the road. And why did the bee go to the doctor? Because she had hives. Well, as we come to the end of a 12 and a half year journey, I thought a lot about how I wanted to leave you. What words would I like to say to you as your my final words, if you will? Not, sounds like I'm dying, but... But I decided that I had too much to say, so I'm doing it in two parts. So this is Farewell Address Part 1. I'm going to focus today on the final words of writers of the New Testament. I've read each of the letters of the New Testament this week in preparation for this message. And all the scriptures that I'm going to be using today come from the final chapter of each one of those letters. And don't worry, we're not going to read all of them. Some of you just like, oh, whoa, what time is it? We're just going to read parts of some of them as I looked at some themes that developed. Next week, my last Sunday here, it'll be more personal, just like Paul did in his letters. He kind of ended with an exhortation to faith, and then he ended with more personal things in the ending of his letter. So next week will be that more personal ending. When I was thinking about what to put in this message, however, I thought about a TV show that my family and I like to watch called The Middle. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a great show. It's hilarious. It got canceled, unfortunately, but as all great shows seem to get. But there was an episode where the middle daughter, his only daughter, was going off to college. And so the dad, whose name is Mike, spends the whole summer like trying to drill into her all of these skills that he thinks that she needs to have for the rest of her life and to be successful. And finally, she's like, Dad, I'm just trying to have a fun last summer. And his wife, Frankie, says, if she doesn't have it by now, after these 18 years that we've had together, she's not going to get it in just a summer. And so you're not going to get new stuff from me these next 2 weeks, because if I haven't said it to you now, there's no point in saying it to you now. Someone said, well, you should just tell them what you really think. Because you don't have any repercussions. And I said, well, I don't really have any of that stuff. I've said everything that I need to say over the 12 and a half years. I don't have these big hidden agendas that I'm going to, you know. I don't have that kind of stuff. So the things that I'm going to say to you this week and next week are not going to be new things. They're going to be things that you've heard me say probably for 12 and a half years. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, he's saying it again. But today, we're going to look at some key things. We've lived together for 12 and a half years. We know each other. We have our lives have been intertwined. We understand each other. You know where my heart is, hopefully. I know where many of your hearts are. And so we're going to look at some of these topics that the writers of Scripture end with in their farewell parts of their letter. So we're going to focus on just a few things today. First thing we're going to focus on is the truth of the gospel. The second thing we're going to focus on is the enemy we face. Then we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, joy, and finally the most important thing, which is love. So Paul says this at the end of Philippians, and this is where we're going to start focusing on the truth. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. There's a lot of deception in the world, and we need to focus on the truth of Scripture, the truth of the gospel. We've talked a lot just recently about Gospel Plus when we did our study of Galatians, and about how people are trying to add things to the gospel, add things to the requirements of becoming and staying a follower of Christ. I talked to you about Gospel Plus being anything added to the gospel other than what the gospel message really says, which is believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Adding anything else to that as a requirement of salvation is adding gospel plus, and we need to avoid it and we need to fight against it. Because adding to the gospel is the worst thing that we can do, because it raises the barrier for people. It says, you can't become a Christian unless you do X, Y, and Z. And those aren't the barriers that Jesus gave us. Jesus said salvation is available to anyone who comes to him. And so that's why we have to think about this gospel plus. John summarizes the requirements for following Christ at the end of 1 John. He says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you might have eternal life. Scripture is here so that we might know who God is and who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we look around the world, we can see creation pointing us to a creator. But it takes scripture, it takes that special revelation of scripture to tell us who that creator is and to point us to Christ. Now there's people that are going to fight that truth to the bitter end. And we are in a battle every single day. When you sign up to be a follower of Christ, you enter that battlefield. You're enlisting in the Lord's army. You're putting yourself on the front line of that combat. And there's an enemy that we cannot see, that is working hard to stop the spread of the gospel, that is working hard to tear Christians away from Christ. And that enemy, of course, is the devil. Peter says at the end of 1 Peter, he says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. The devil is prowling around looking for you to devour. Have you ever seen a lion hunt on the Discovery Channel? The lion hunt and eat? That's a gruesome scene. And that's what the devil seeks to do to us when we choose to follow Christ. But God doesn't send us into that battlefield unprepared. Ephesians finishes with this. He says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. God has given us the armor of God to clothe ourselves with, and it's used to protect us from the devil's attacks, but it's also used to attack evil when we see evil. We need to use that armor to stand firm in our faith and to fight against the attacks on the gospel, to make sure that the gospel is truly central to what we do as a church and as individuals. But Paul reminds us at the end of Romans about the eventual outcome of all of this. And this is where we can rejoice. He says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. The battle rages on, but the war has been won. And the war was won when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. Satan will be crushed in the end, but he's going to try to take down as many people as he can before that moment comes. He seeks to destroy the church. He seeks to destroy those of you who choose to follow Christ. He will work to discredit you. He will work to demoralize you, to distract you from what is really important in life. And he's clever. He's not going to attack you from the front. He's going to come at you from the side or from behind. And he will try to get you when you least expect it. And so we need to be on guard at all times for his advances. We need to stand firm in our foundation of the gospel, firm in our foundation of what really matters. At the same time, we can have confidence that our victory in Christ is assured. Listen to John. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those of us who believe that Jesus is the Son of God are assured victory in the end. It may not seem like we're gaining much ground if we look around the world around us. But in the end, John assures us that the victory belongs to those who follow Christ. One of the great advantages that we have in this battle is that we can go to the Lord with our prayers. And prayer is one of the weapons that we have in this spiritual battle. At the end of Ephesians, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too." We need to commit to praying on all occasions, at all times. And we need to be consistent with our prayers. We need to be persistent with our prayers. And we need to pray for our fellow believers. Look around the room right now. No, don't look at me. Look around the room. Not hypothetical. These are the people that we should be praying for. Our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have many other people in your life who you need to be praying for. If we could look through the computer screens right now, there are more brothers and sisters at home today that we need to be praying for. When we pray for them, we need to remember also that we might be the answer to that prayer. God may provide a situation and provide it in such a way that, you know, they have a need, we might be able to fill that need. And so we could be the answers to our prayers. And then Paul asked them to pray for him as well. And I know that many of you have shared with me that you pray for myself and my family on a regular basis. And that is the most important thing that you can do, and that's the greatest gift that you can give us. And I'm grateful for those prayers. I hope that we can continue to pray for one another as we move forward. Just as Paul says, continue to pray for us. And if you want to know how you can pray for us in the future, he ends Colossians by saying, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ." We need to pray for one another that we are given opportunities to share Jesus with other people. And even though I'm not going to be a pastor at a church, I'm still in ministry in my mind, in a school, in a public school setting. And there are people there that need to know about Jesus and need to know Jesus' love. And while I have some restrictions on what I can say in class, my coworkers at other times, I can share my faith without breaking those rules that will get me fired. We don't want that. I might come back and say, "Hey, yeah." But we need to look for those opportunities that we can share. In my teaching this year, I've had many opportunities to share Christ's love with my students and with my coworkers. And so pray that I continue to have those opportunities. And I will pray that you will continue to have those opportunities in your life. No matter what stage of life you're at, you have that circle of influence. You have those people that you can count on and that you can be sharing the love of Christ with. As we enter this spiritual battle, we need to pray for one another that we have the courage to take a stand when we need to take a stand. Pray that we can have the endurance that we need to stand up against the devil's attacks. But prayer, of course, is not only a weapon. It's also the primary way that we develop our relationship with God. When things come up that are difficult or stressful, God wants us to turn to him in prayer. At the end of Philippians, Paul says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." He gives us the formula for peace here. and that is to pray. And when we pray, we tell God what we need. We tell God what's on our hearts. We engage in that dialogue with God. And there's nothing too small to bring before the Lord. If you think about it, if it's big enough for you to think about or worry about or stress about, then that's a good thing to bring before the Lord. Nothing is too small to bring before the Lord. He wants to hear your requests. He wants to give you what you need according to His will. That's the type of prayer life that we need to be engaged in. And if you want peace in your life, then you have to pray. You have to engage in that conversation with the God of the universe. And we can have confidence in that conversation according to John at the end of 1 John. He says, "And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make a request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for." That doesn't mean that God is some genie in a bottle, that if you just say the magic words, you know, He comes and grants you wishes. It does mean that when we pray for things that line up with His will, He's going to give us those things. And so when we pray and when we need things, we need to be praying that God would open up His will and show us what His will is for our situation so that we can pray for those things, because those are the prayers that God wants to answer and that God will answer, giving us those things we need to live in His will. Sometimes the only way to pray is, "God, I don't know how to pray. Help me in this situation. Help me to know how to pray." And God is faithful in those times to pray on your behalf. So when we are praying and living about in God's will, then we will find joy. At the end of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." We are always to be joyful. And remember last week we talked about the difference between happiness and joyfulness. And happiness is based on our circumstances or the people around us. But our joy comes with our relationship with Christ. And therefore, since we have been saved by Christ, we can always find joy even in the midst of our sorrow. And we find this joy through prayer, which Paul says here we should never stop doing. And we should never stop being thankful, he says. Being thankful helps us keep our perspective. It helps us stay keyed in on those blessings that God has already given to us. When we focus on the blessings, when we focus on the things God has already given to us, those other things that are distracting us, that are pulling us away, they sort of fade away. Because we recognize that God loves us and God cares for us and God has provided for us in the past. Therefore, we have confidence He will provide for us in the future. And again, Paul asks for prayers for himself. Paul never asked his churches for money to support himself. He didn't want to be accused of being in it for the money like some of the charlatan preachers of his day. But he often asked for their prayers. He often asks for their prayers. At the end of Philippians, Paul says this, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." He says, be full of joy, but he also adds that we should be considerate in all that we do. And that brings us to our final topic today and our most important topic. We've talked about the truth. We've talked about the enemy. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about joy and thanksgiving. But above all, we must remember to love one another. John says this in 2 John. "I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another, just as you have heard from the beginning. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love. And so, how are we loving one another? How are we doing as a church? How are we doing as individuals when it comes to loving other people? In Titus, Paul says that we show love by meeting the needs of others. He says our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. So what have you done for someone else lately? Particularly when there's no hope in getting anything in return. Have you practiced sacrificial love? Have you done something selflessly for the sake of someone else? Do you wake up each morning and think, how can I do good today? How can I show love to someone today? Do you look for ways in your daily routine to show God's love to someone? It doesn't cost money to show God's love to someone. Sometimes it's just a listening ear. Sometimes it could just be holding the door for someone or helping someone carry something. Are you looking for those things? Paul says this at the end of 1 Corinthians, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Everything that we do should be done in love, no matter what. There's no asterisks there. Everything we do must be done in love. It doesn't say unless it's difficult or unless it is time consuming or costs me too much or I don't like the person or this person really irritated me. Or, I don't think this person's going to thank me. Or last time I did something for them, they didn't thank me. I didn't feel appreciated, so I'm not going to do it for them. It doesn't say that. It says, do everything with love. And what's that punctuation mark at the end? What is that? A period. It's not a dot, dot, dot. An ellipses. Everything we do, we must do in love. And if we did nothing right over these past 12 and a half years, if every decision that I made over these 12 and a half years ticked you off, well, for one thing, you're probably not sitting here still. But I hope that you know that my heart was love behind it. How can I show love to you? And I know that I have failed in countless ways over these past 12 and a half years. But my guiding principle was always, can I love? How can I show Christ's love? And so in the midst of those failures, I hope that you know my heart. It was never an intentional slight, except maybe to Rick. Okay. But it was never intentional to show you anything but love. That's what I wanted to give to you. That's what I wanted to show you. That's what got me up in the morning, to show love. And yeah, I made mistakes. Yeah, I ticked people off. But my intent was always to love. I love all of you. I'm going to miss all of you. And I want to end today with two benedictions. Two benedictions. The first from 2 Thessalonians and the second from Jude. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And those are my prayers for you this morning, that you will remember these things and remember the way that we have loved and the way that we have built this ministry together over the past dozen and a half years. I pray that you will seek Christ in every situation and that will you choose love.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.